Jim Cunningham with you for the Mozart Festival from Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. We'll have more from Robert Levin. Having played the Concerto No. 20 in D minor with the Pittsburgh Symphony, he has returned to the stage to improvise in the style of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and he's asked the members of the audience at Heinz Hall to help out.
There's the person I need. Oh, you've been working very hard. This is great. Look at this. Good heavens, I could improvise for 4 hours here. All right. Strange walking on stage not knowing what it is you're going to play, you know? Usually you have nightmares about things like that. Okay. That's very, very good. Not easy to read this. Akiko Tobayashi? Where are you? Very good. Excellent. All right, well, and we've got a tune in C major. Let's see what else we can have. This person, I see. She knows what she wants, and so she gave me the title. All right, that's okay. She says she wants the Ave Verum. And this is Jane Miller. Jane, where are you?
Over there.
Good, okay. We're going to do a shorter one here, and I'll give one more here, maybe. Okay. Well, La Donna Mobile from Rigoletto in B major. Oh, boy. All right, I think that'll be it. Fasten your seatbelts. I'll play these for you just so you know what they are. You know what they are, but...
and improvisation by Robert Levin. The tunes submitted by members of the audience here at Heinz Hall. Robert Levin has woven together three melodies, one by Rossini, one by an audience member, and the Ave Verum Corpus by Mozart. Next, it's a Mozart first, with principal horn William Caballero and Robert Levin.
I have to say what Robert has done is kind of regrouped a lot of things. You're going to hear a quite different ending. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of familiarity. Of course, it's Mozart. You're going to hear the main firmness, I guess, of the first concerto. But you're going to hear a lot of change-ups in the first movement and certainly the end of the second movement, too. There's like a mini development section that I like a lot. And also, in this edition that Robert's put together, a lot of the articulations that have been traditionally done by horn players over the decades now are taken out and are proper. So I'm trying to do as many as possible. We've had a few back to match the violins in this performance, but in general, what Robert has done, I think, is tremendous in basically cleaning it up for we horn players in the world, and we have a new fantastic starting point to work from.
Have you played this concerto with this orchestra before?
This is my very first time I've ever played this concerto, period. I can't believe my whole life. I'm certainly in my twilight of my career. and I have not. I played two how many times? Three, four, but never played one. I've worked on one with students, but it's just something that we don't work on that much. And I think I will again, partly because of Robert's addition, but also because of the key. All the other horn concertos are in E-flat, this one in D, and it's just awkward enough for the player key-wise that we need to revisit it. That's for darn sure.
Pittsburgh Symphony Principal Horn William Caballero, who's about to play Mozart's Concerto No. 1. It's in two movements, not the typical three. Despite the numbering, it was the last of Mozart's four horn concertos and was unfinished at his death in 1791. Mozart's student Franz Xaver Süssmayr completed the orchestration while adding a few touches of his own. Bassoons were used by Mozart in the first movement, but not by Süssmayr in the Rondo finale. You will hear the Pittsburgh Symphony give the world premiere of the concerto as completed by Robert Levin, who is widely known for his work with Mozart's unfinished music. Mozart's four horn concertos were written for Ignaz Leutgeb, a colleague of Mozart's father Leopold in the Salzburg Court Orchestra. The young Mozart was 7 years old when he first played for Leutgeb. They became lifelong friends whose music careers eventually took them both to Vienna. Unlike Mozart, Leutgeb opened a cheese shop for steady income in case horn playing couldn't pay the bills. Both men enjoyed a good, often racy joke, and they frequently exchanged witticisms and personal jibes in their correspondence. Their wordplay spilled onto the title pages of the horn concertos. For Concerto No. 2, the composer wrote, "Wolfgang Amadei Mozart took pity on Leutgeb, donkey, ox, and fool, on March 27, 1783. Sections of Concerto No. 4 were written in four different colors of ink. Over one especially difficult passage, Mozart wrote, "What do you think of that, Master Leutgeb?" Though Mozart didn't complete the orchestration of his Concerto No. 1 in D, he did put extensive commentary above the horn part. Instead of writing in the usual Italian musical terms for expressing tempo or mood, Mozart writes as though he's right at Leutgeb's ear, coaching and taunting him. "Signor Donkey, take heart, quickly, that's fine. Courage, it will soon be over. Idiot! Oh, how out of tune! Take a breath. Forward. Ah, a trill like a sheep's bleat." Leutgeb was in his 60s when the D major concerto was written. Mozart chose a lower key and a limited range on account of Leutgeb's faltering embouchure due to poor dental health. Here are Pittsburgh Symphony Principal Horn William Caballero and Music Director Manfred Honeck to give the world premiere of Mozart's Horn Concerto No. 1 in D with the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you. Thank you.
Horn Concerto No. 1 in D by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, Kerschel 412, completed and edited by Robert Levin. It was played by the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra with music director Manfred Honeck conducting and the principal horn of the Pittsburgh Symphony, William Cavallaro, as soloist.
Well, what's it like? I guess you go in the history book playing the premiere of a Mozart concerto, if you will.
Well, Robert and I talked about that yesterday, and we're not quite sure. Obviously, it's been published, it's been released, and we're thinking this might be the first, but there's really no way of keeping track of it with this, of this edition, since it's already been released. But I guess we can, it's fair to say that this is the first one that has been performed with him present, with Levin present. So I think in that sense it is a world premiere with Robert. I'm very grateful. I'm very happy that I'm able to have this opportunity.
Pianist, professor, and musicologist Robert Levin has thought a great deal about finishing the unfinished music by Mozart, including the concerto you just heard.
My involvement in finishing unfinished works of Mozart began actually when I was an undergraduate at Harvard, and F. John Adams, who was a student at Harvard and later conductor of the Harvard Glee Club, approached me and asked me if I'd play organ in a performance of the Mozart Requiem. I thought, what a wonderful thing to play the organ in a performance of the Mozart Requiem in St. Paul's Church in Cambridge. I said yes immediately. He said, now, I've got a new edition of this piece. The Complete Works edition has a sketch in the back of it for a fugue that isn't part of the regular version of Süssmayr that everybody plays. And he said, I know that you're quite a Mozart maniac. Why don't you finish that fugue and we'll incorporate it into our performance? And I said to him, there have to be a lot easier ways to make a fool of yourself than to do that. I mean, what hubris, what ambition. No, I'm not going to do it. He said, don't say no right away. Just think about it. And I began to think about it, and I thought, it's an experiment. And so in the end, I said, all right, I'll do that. And we did the performance, and I began to get interested in this idea of what Mozart left unfinished when he died. So that's how I got started with it, and then various people discovered that I was doing this and came after me and asked me, well, is there anything for the oboe? Yes, there's an oboe concerto. Oh, please finish it for me. And when Ab Koster, the Dutch horn player, was recording all of the Mozart horn concertos for Sony Classical Vivarte, Wolf Erickson was the producer there and knew of my work there, and he said, well, could you do something that's connected here and would help us do something more interesting in this set of Mozart horn concertos? And so that was my first go at finishing the Mozart First Horn Concerto.
It's Pittsburgh Symphony Radio, the Mozart Festival. I'm Jim Cunningham. Pittsburgh Symphony music director Manfred Honeck was born in Austria. He is a longtime resident of Mozart's town, Vienna, where he was violinist and violist in the Vienna Philharmonic. Manfred Honeck has a special fondness for Mozart's last symphony, No. 41, The Jupiter.
It's one of the greatest music, and I think transparency is one of the most important things, especially for the last movement. And some Austrian Volkstunes, which were very famous in the time when Mozart lived, and the beautiness of the second movement, the sweetness and the elegance, and the maestoso of the very first beginning, Jupiter. It was not named by Mozart, so it was later on by Mr. Salomon, who the editor in the presenter, concert presenter in London, who wanted to call that Jupiter. But it sounded like a very prominent and very hymn-like movement.
Here is Manfred Honeck to conduct the Symphony No. 41 in C major, Kerschel 551, Jupiter.
Thank you.
The Symphony No. 41 in C Major, Kerschel 551, Jupiter by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. It was played by the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, conducted by music director Manfred Honeck. The Pittsburgh Symphony played it in its first few seasons on the 14th of January, 1897. Frederick Archer was the conductor at Carnegie Music Hall in Pittsburgh. Manfred Honeck opened the Pittsburgh Symphony Mozart Festival with Eine kleine Nachtmusik. It was followed by the Piano Concerto No. 20, featuring pianist and Mozart scholar Robert Levin. Pittsburgh Symphony Principal Horn William Caballero opened the second half with the world premiere of Mozart's Horn Concerto No. 1, as completed by Robert Levin in a newly published score. And you've just heard Mozart's final symphony, No. 41, subtitled Jupiter. There have been many great Mozart events across the history of the Pittsburgh Symphony. Music directors Fritz Reiner and William Steinberg made some great Mozart recordings worth adding to your collection. Here was a Mozart festival that took place in May of 2003 at Heinz Hall. Pekka Zuckerman conducted the 29th Symphony in A Major, Kerschel 201. Thank you. The Minuetto from the 29th Symphony in A by Mozart, his Kerschel 201, with Pinka Zuckerman conducting the Pittsburgh Symphony on May 9, 2003, in an all-Mozart program. Thanks for being here. I'm Jim Cunningham. We always try to have a festive mood from Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. I think it's time for a fighting game of Mozart's favorite sport, billiards or skittles, in his honor. I hope you'll return next week, same time and place, for a concert by the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. You can listen to all the Pittsburgh Symphony Radio concerts on demand as streaming audio at WQEDFM.org using your smartphone or computer. I'd like to send you the Pittsburgh Symphony Radio Guide, and along with it, Pittsburgh Symphony Reading Light. Please send a note to Pittsburgh Symphony Radio, 4802 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15213. Be sure to include your address and let me know what station you're listening to. Our address again, 4802 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15213. You can visit the website at psoradio.org, or you can send email to pso@wqed.org. Brian Savar is our digital production engineer. Heinz Hall recording engineer, Harold Chambers. The scriptwriter was Stephen Baum. The Mozart Festival from Pittsburgh Symphony Radio was made possible by Pittsburgh residents Pat and Michelle Atkins in honor of Carlo University, Pittsburgh, with additional support by the Jack Buncher Foundation and the musicians of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra.
PRI, Public Radio International.